show to his next prospective employer. Then he remembered that Obermann claimed he already had a job lined up at Cellini, courtesy of Anita Halleck, no less. McClintock stepped into the locker area, smiling like an insurance salesman. Grant thought he looked completely out of place. "This is where the working stiffs suit up," he said to himself. "What's this playboy doing here?" The man was wearing a long-sleeved white pullover and sharply creased pearl-gray slacks. The shirt looked like cashmere, for cripes sakes, Grant thought. The spacesuits hanging in their lockers had been white once, but now they were gray from hard use. No matter how hard you vacuumed them after a job outside, it was impossible to get rid of all the lunar dust that clung to the suits. "Grant, could I speak with you a moment?" McClintock asked, pointedly polite. "Noblesse oblige," Grant thought. "Go right ahead," said Grant, as he pulled his thick-soled boots from his locker. McClintock's smile dimmed. "In private, if you please." Grant glanced at Obermann, then got to his feet. He followed McClintock to the door of the locker area and out into the low-ceilinged corridor beyond. Lowering his voice, McClintock said, "Dr. Cardenas recommends we decontaminate the shelter at Mendeleev. So Professor Ulrich wants you to take a couple of high-intensity ultraviolet lamps out with you and kill any nanobugs in there." With a nod, Grant said, "Makes sense." "Good. I've already called the storeroom. Two lamps are on their way here." Glancing back into the locker area, Grant asked, "What about Obermann? This'll tip him off that we're worried about nanos." McClintock's phony smile returned. "I already thought of that. Tell him you're sterilizing the shelter, getting rid of any bacteria in the air, biofilms on the surfaces of the equipment, that sort of thing." Grant said, "Yeah, he might believe that." "No mention of nanomachines to him," McClintock commanded. "He's not altogether stupid, you know." "No mention of nanomachines." McClintock turned and headed down the corridor, looking to Grant as if he were eager to get back to his office and away from the grimy workers' area. "Can't say I blame him," Grant thought. "This place smells of sweat and machine oil and lunar dust." As he returned to his locker, Grant saw that Obermann was industriously wiping the metal neck ring of his suit with a heavy cloth. "What are you doing?" Grant asked. "Cleaning my suit," said Obermann, without looking up from his work. "I want to do this job perfectly, Grant. I want to show you I can do things right." Grant sat on the bench beside Obermann, impressed with the man's eagerness. "Great," he said. By the time Grant was about to lift the hard-shell torso of his spacesuit over his head, two clerks from the storeroom arrived, pushing a cart that carried a pair of ultraviolet lamps. Grant signed for them, and they left the cart and departed. "What's that for?" Obermann asked. He was almost fully suited up, only his gloves and helmet remained to be put on. "Routine health procedure," Grant lied. "We're going to disinfect the shelter while we're out at Mendeleev. UV kills bugs in the air, biofilms, stuff like that." "Huh," said Obermann. Grant let it go at that and picked up his suit's torso. Obermann eyed him intently as Grant lifted the hard shell over his head and wormed his arms through the fabric sleeves. When his head popped through the neck ring, he saw that Obermann was grinning at him. "What's funny?"
"Your beard. I was wondering how you'd keep it inside the collar."
Grant said, "I keep it trimmed short enough so it's not a problem."
"So I see," said Obermann, still grinning. "So I see."
They checked each other's suit connections and seals, Grant hoping that Obermann was as conscientious and thorough as he should be. "My life is in his hands," he thought. Satisfied that the suits were in working order, Grant flicked the comm frequency and announced, "We're ready to go outside."
"You're cleared for outside," came the voice of the excursion controller.
Grant recognized the voice.
"Harvey, is that you?"
"Yep."
"I thought you were too hungover to work."
A moment's hesitation, then Henderson answered,
"I don't feel all that great, to tell you the truth. Nate offered to fill in for me, so we switched assignments."
"Without asking me?" Grant felt nettled.
"Hope you don't mind, boss."
Harvey only called Grant boss when he wanted to divert Grant's displeasure. Grant glanced at Obermann. He could see enough through Nate's bubble helmet to recognize that the technician looked worried, apprehensive. "What the hell," he thought. "Nate wants to make a good impression on me, and Harvey's helping him along." "Okay," he said. "We're entering the airlock.
Copy entering airlock. To Oberman, Grant said, You pick up one of the UV lamps and I'll pick up the other. No sense trying to push that dump cart across the regolith to the hopper. Installation.
Okay, Trudy's voice said in Grant's helmet speakers. Now plug in the connector cord from the backup computer.
Grant was standing on the spiderwork platform built halfway up the telescope, where its secondary mirror had been placed. It was dark inside the 100-meter-wide tube, and he was glad that it was nighttime again out on the floor of the crater. He was sweating enough inside his insulated suit. Cooling water gurgled through the tubes of his thermal undergarment, yet still he was perspiring. I should have remembered to bring a headband, he berated himself, blinking sweat away from his eyes, wishing he could snake a hand past the suit's neck ring and rub his eyes, scratch his itching nose.
You're doing swell, Grant, Trudy encouraged. Almost finished.
Grant saw her snub-nosed gamine's face on half the display screen he had set up on the work platform's grilled floor. The other half showed a schematic of the spectrometer's mount. Trudy's right, he saw. We're damned near finished. Nate Oberman was way over on the other side of the big tube, carrying out a routine check of the telescope's steering motors. Grant plugged the computer cord into its socket, and the schematic flickered briefly, then its edges turned bright green.
That's it, said Trudy happily. All finished.
Grant felt good about it, too. See, he said to Trudy, you did it remotely. You didn't have to come out here after all.
You did it, Grant, she said. I just looked over your shoulder.
He huffed, then told her, Well, you owe me a steak dinner when I get back.
You're on, and no soy product either. We'll have cultured steak.
Trudy seemed to be glowing happily, but Grant felt strangely glum, let down. He said a reluctant goodbye to her and cut the communications link. Then, on the suit-to-suit frequency, he hailed Oberman. I'm finished here, Nate. How are you coming along? Oberman replied, I've been finished for half an hour, buddy. I've just been stooging around waiting for you before I headed in for the shelter. Okay, I'm coming down. Grant glanced at the digital time display on his wristband. 15:43. We can jump on the hopper and get back to Farside in time for dinner, he thought. Then he remembered that he had to decontaminate the shelter. Don't rush that job, he told himself. Take plenty of time. Shine UV in every nook and cranny. It was well past 1900 hours when Grant finally clicked off the ultraviolet lamp he had been holding for nearly 4 hours. He and Oberman had taken off their spacesuits and stored them by the shelter's airlock, and then irradiated them with UV inside and out. Standing in the middle of the narrow shelter, in his sweat-damp gray coveralls, Grant looked around, then nodded, satisfied. That's it, I think. Oberman lowered his lamp to the steel mesh floor. Jesus, Grant, we've shined these damned lamps everywhere in this dump except up our respective assholes. With a chuckle, Grant said, Thoroughness is next to godliness. Oberman forced an exaggerated sigh. Okay, pull your pants down. Grant laughed, but he thought that if Oberman knew his body was filled with nanomachines, the guy wouldn't be so nonchalant about it. They're therapeutic nanobugs, Grant reminded himself. They can't hurt anything. They can't get out of your body. Even if they did, Chris engineered them to go inert once they no longer had my body heat to power them. He wished he really believed that. So what do you think? Oberman asked, breaking into Grant's thoughts. You want to bunk in here or fly back to Farside now? Grant mulled it over for a few moments. Safety regs recommend we sleep here. No sense flying the hopper when we're tired. Unless we have to, said Oberman. No reason for us to go now. I thought you wanted to get Trudy Yost to buy you a steak dinner, Oberman said, grinning. If we start out now, we can make it back to Farside by midnight. Nice romantic midnight dinner, buddy. The son of a bitch has been tapping into my comlink back to Farside, Grant realized. You could even have dinner in bed, I bet. Suddenly Grant wanted to smack him in his leering face. Instead, he took a deep breath. We'll sleep here, he said tightly. You can use the lab first. Just be sure to clean up after yourself. Dinner for two. McClintock was examining the